means of assessing some of the benefits that people from outside get for temporary employment here. I think that should be instituted. I think we would unfairly tax young folks and perhaps folks who may not be, who rely on the permanent fund dividend. And I feel that the it seems clear for the city of Wasilla's benefits from the permanent fund. We see a spike in the month of October, and then, of course, during the Christmas season, after the October payment of the permanent fund dividend, and in terms of our sales tax revenues. So if we were to lose, and I believe we are going to have reduced community support from the state, if we reduce that, and then we impose a cap on the permanent fund dividend, we can expect a direct effect upon incomes to the city to upgrade its infrastructure, which is very important here with a fast-growing economy. So basically, I think we should look at these other options, which allow us to write off some of these expenses on our federal income tax, which we cannot do on our permanent fund dividends. Thank you.
Garvin, thank you very much for joining us this evening. Are there any questions for Garvin at this point in time? Hearing none, the next person in Matsu I have signed up is Art Kohanis.
Yeah, my name is Art Kohanis, and I'm from Bigway, Alaska here. I've been here for over 20 years, and I find your state, the state of Alaska, to be a state that is politically powered on the different branches are really separate. They're not checking each other. And the whole idea of my being here is that I'm against you changing the permanent fund or anything like that. I believe a contract is a contract and it should stay. And where the folks that live here, and if you reduce the permanent fund to the elderly, for example, they're probably, you'll also lose the Social Security revenue that is poured into this area. And, of course, government that is overstacked and overbuilt is probably 150% comparing to the private sector as far as the getting wealthy is concerned, or getting better living conditions and so forth. I've never seen anybody that hasn't, that was in the private sector, ever made anything other than, unless they had government backing. And that takes special recognition or something. And the accountability right now in your state is just simply that you're wasting a lot of money. And if you just look into all the areas, you'd probably find some places that you got billions of dollars hid that you could just look and find it. There's been a lot of money pulled through this state, and I don't know where it is. I mean, really, there's a lot of people living in shacks right now, don't even have a decent standard of living. And I would like to know who's representing us, or the people in the shack, so to speak. And where are your consideration there? I mean, this is supposed to be America for all, but I find all the states are turning socialistic, and they're going in areas where more tax, and more tax. Where's it going to stop? That's the consideration I want you to do this evening. Those thoughts that I just brought up.
All right. Thank you very much, Art. Are there any questions for Art? Representative Phillips?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Art, at the beginning of your comments, you mentioned that the legislature is violating a contract. What contract are you speaking about?
I'm talking about Alaska. you whether you got a certification of elections. Do you have one?
Yes.
Can you prove that?
Well, I have it up on my wall in my office.
What about an employee's business?
Yes.
Well, yes is just one thing, but is it all do we have a government here that's on checks and balances where the Senate or the representatives there have the same power as the judicial? Are we coordinating?
Art, I think we do have a system here of checks and balances in the sense that, you know, I would admit there are times that we are frustrated by what the court does. We don't always agree with their decisions.
I'm not an expert at this, but I've been hearing some stories like that. And I believe that you should listen to that kind of stuff because I don't believe you have a government that's in true check. That's why the spending's going crazy.
All right. Are there any further questions for Art? Hearing none, thank you very much, Mr. Kohannes, for joining us this evening. We did have a person in Seward, Jerry Dixon, who was online for a while. I think we've lost him, but I just want to check. Is there anyone in Seward? I apologize for not getting to you earlier. Now we'll go back up to Anchorage again. I believe we have Rex Shattuck in Anchorage.
Present.
Good evening, Rex. Thanks for coming out.
How you doing?
Good.
Every one of you for your willingness to be in Juneau, representing the many people in your district. And I appreciate the sacrifice you and your families make. It's honorable that you are dedicated to finding solutions, which often mean you all take the heat. I'm a veteran, and I and many others, no doubt some of you, served our nation to preserve the right to participate in this process of choosing the right course for our future. Today, you have no small task at hand. As I and many others see it, you are about to turn a big page in Alaska's history. Are you going to send Alaska into the next century with an ever-growing government bureaucracy, funding more public programs, hiring more government employees? Or are you going to live up to the pledges that many of you made during your campaign? Representative Mulder's comments last evening inspired me to also look back and see some of the statements that were made in the 96 and 98 elections pamphlets, and I'd like to read a few to you real quick. I'm pleased to report success. I belong to the House majority that reduced annual state spending by $190 million during my 3 terms. We produced state spending budget, operating budget, while retaining essential services, protecting the permanent fund, and preventing state sales or income taxes. We must not be lured back to the tax and spend philosophies of the 1980s. While we're being nostalgic, let me read a press release from the majority at the beginning of the 19th legislature. Dateline Juneau, February 12, 96. The legislative leadership Monday introduced their strategy to lead Alaska into the next century. Their comprehensive proposal will close Alaska's fiscal gap in 5 years. Our long-range strategy is to do what people elected us to do, reduce the size, scope, and powers of government, and I applaud that statement. At the end of that session, here is another press release dated June 6, 1996. The 19th legislature is one of the most accomplished in our state's history. We didn't spend money the state didn't have. If all this touting of cuts is true, why then are we at this budget crisis? We saw this coming, and your plan you created was to allow for a soft landing. Remember, promises made, promises kept. Quote, in a memo to the House Senate Finance Committee dated 9 February 1999, from the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, two graphs show a very different picture. Sure, your general fund expenditures may have decreased, but out-of-state funds expenditures and takes a very different picture, doubling since 1996. General funds have been replaced by funding from AHSC, new tax receipts, and other state dollars. We've seen an increase from 97 to the present of over 400 new funded positions statewide, increasing government, and now the governor is asking for 600 more, and I'm almost done. I came here this evening to share a few figures with you, and I'll be on the plane tomorrow morning. My expense bringing the names behind these figures. Less than a year ago, 31,122 people were contacted statewide. The question they were asked addressed the same subject we're speaking about this evening. They were asked, do you want the earnings of the permanent fund spent? An overwhelming 71% of those people said no. That's 22,022 people statewide who said no. Only 10% were undecided, and many of you who have been involved in campaign knows that's a big, big margin. I believe that those people expect you to follow through with the promises you made. At a minimum, they'll expect you to put your plan on the ballot for an advisory vote. Before you use the undistributed income of the permanent fund, create a sales tax or an income tax, I urge you to do exactly that. Put it on the ballot if you believe this is the time to raid our future generation's inheritance. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rex. I must admit, with the statements that you've read, there was not a one of them that I disagree with, to the extent that we did have a plan that we followed through with. And as some of my colleagues here who may have disagreed with some of the decisions at the time, we have made reductions to the size and scope of government. At the time that we put that plan forward, we did not anticipate the dramatic decline in oil production that has in fact occurred. As some had projected, this decline was going to come earlier. It did not. The Prudhoe Bay curve is in fact hitting us now, and that's really the cause of our shortfall right now. While some believe that it's driven only by the price of oil, that in fact isn't the case. Even if the price of oil were over $17 a barrel for the next year, we would still have an $800 million deficit next year. A very sizable deficit. And the reason we're here tonight, Rex, is because if we don't take action soon, the very fund you're talking about and the dividends that you enjoy and your family enjoys will be gone. If we don't take action within the next 6 years, within the next 6 years, your dividends will be in jeopardy entirely. The effort we're trying to do is show some foresight, to take some preventative action from that occurring. So with that, I really appreciate your comments tonight. Are there...
I absolutely applaud the fact that you're involved in doing that, and make no mistake, this is philosophy, it's not personal, and I appreciate the fact that you spent hard times. In fact, I believe you're actually a veteran too, if I remember correctly. My comment would be this, though. In terms of decreasing the size and scope of government, in 1973, adjusted figures made $3,769 spent per person out of general fund expenditures. Today, we're spending $3,799. There's virtually no change. You're absolutely right. But what I think needs to be shown is the fact that there are expenditures being made out of other than general fund money. That has increased to close to $4,000. That's a problem. At the same time as you're showing decreased expenditures, we're seeing increase in other monies being expended. And that's where you're getting the increase in people on the rolls of government. Like I say, I'll get off. But don't misunderstand me. I do appreciate the fact that you're diligently working, although I may disagree with numerous of you down there. And I do assure you we'll have the opportunity, hopefully, for me to drop off names of individuals from your districts who answered that question to the tunes of thousands per district. So I look forward to talking to you.
I look forward to visiting with you in the next couple of days, too, Rex. Thank you very much. The next person we have signed up in Anchorage is Scott Thorson.
I want to get to you guys this evening. First one is, right now are the money that you guys spend for municipal revenue sharing and for public radio and things like that. I mean, those things are extras, and for my money, I think that we could probably do without it. Sure, it means that we'll have to raise revenues in other ways, but times are pretty tough. We've got $1 billion shortfall, as you guys know. Third thing is, I'm not sure that we need to have a vote for you guys to use the permanent fund earnings. As I recall, the permanent fund, the legislation that created the permanent fund dividend doesn't require a vote of the people to do that, and I think that that's going to create a lot of turmoil if we go that way. Item number four is, I think we should be using the dividends. Right now, with the way that the dividends are paid out, depending on who's the capitalist to, somewhere in the neighborhood of about 20% of that goes away in federal income taxes that people pay, which is, that's money that's not being applied directly for use in the state of Alaska. In the situation that we have now, where we're paying roughly $1 billion a year out in permanent fund earnings, that's $200 million that could be spent in a more direct way on things for Alaska. And those are the five things that I wanted to point out. I also echo Rex's sentiment that you guys have a tough damn job ahead of you down there, and I sure do appreciate the work that you guys are doing down there. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Scott. Appreciate your comments tonight. Are there any questions for Scott? If not, Scott, before Rex leaves, I want to just clarify. He made the point or asked the question, actually, if I was a veteran. This is Eldon, and in fact, I'm not a veteran, so I just didn't want anybody to be misled by that. For people who are on teleconference, I announced earlier who was all here. People should know that we have the entire Finance Committee here this evening, as well as Speaker Porter. So many members, as well as Representative Phillips and Representative Cisna. So you have many members of the legislature here listening to the teleconference, eager to hear what the public is thinking. I have one more person in Fairbanks who has signed up, Kathy Dietrich. Are you there, Kathy?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us this evening.
Okay. Well, I wish there were more people in Fairbanks here, but I just learned of this meeting at 4 o'clock this afternoon, and I'm sure that there would be more input if we have more opportunity to give it. I agree that the permanent fund dividend is not an entitlement. I don't believe the longevity bonus is either. However, capping the permanent fund without assessing an income tax or an education tax is regressive. An income tax would fairly assess all citizens of Alaska and would recoup something from the out-of-state workers who benefit from our infrastructure without giving back. An income tax is fairer than reducing dividends of the poor. Otherwise, the less well-off are contributing the same as the wealthy. A plan that does not foresee growth in government services, I'm referring to the 20 years of flat spending, is not a viable plan. I've heard a lot of reference this evening from other callers referring to state government as if it were some greedy child asking for more and more money. Government is the entity that allows us to provide services to all citizens that we cannot provide individually for ourselves. When I leave my driveway, I want to find the road plowed. I want a school to be at the end of the bus ride for my children. I want police and corrections for our safety. I want aid to be available for needy people. I want the environment protected and workers protected. I want restaurants checked for cleanliness. I want these services. And at the risk of sounding like a parental parent, and I'm a grandparent, so I can earn some of that, I think we need to reassess who is being greedy. I think we need to ask ourselves what happened to that independent, we'll pay our own way Alaskan spirit. I support a combined approach to dealing with our functions that we all need and have come to rely on, like this LIO office providing this very great service to us. I think we need to have a combination of an income tax, a school tax, and use of the earnings reserve. And I hope that you will consider that before your time is up. Thank you.
All right, Kathy, thank you very much for your comments. Representative Terrio.
Yes, Kathy, if we weren't confronted with the situation that left, if the status quo was maintained, the dividend could be just gone in a couple of years, do you feel like the dividend should be allowed to just continue to grow and grow year after year?
No, I don't. And I think that one of the problems is that this attitude of entitlement is so easy to catch. Certainly, I use mine to pay my property tax and fund my child's college education. I think people get used to it, and now that we've all seen this wonderful $1,500 check, it's really hard to think of letting it go back down. And I think if there are a way to say, okay, this is as big as it gets, guys, don't get used to anything more, and say, and I don't know all the numbers. I'm going to have to rely on and you and others, so I'd be happy to learn more and give more input. But I think some combined approach with the income tax, education tax, and a cap at its present level or some other reasonable level that is sustainable, if there is such a thing, and then plow back in anything above that cap to help regenerate for future generations.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. I believe for the people on teleconference, those are all the names that I have signed up right now. Is there anyone in Anchorage who wishes to testify still?
No, there isn't.
All right. Is there anyone in Dillingham? Is there anyone in Fairbanks who wishes to yet testify? Is there anyone in Kenai who has not testified yet? Is there anyone in Mat-Su who wishes to testify? And I do not see anybody in the audience that wishes to testify, I don't believe, at this point in time. Is there anybody off-net that is connected? Okay, it sounds like we have concluded public testimony on House Bill 231 and 232. For those who have testified, we greatly appreciate your testimony this evening and taking time. Despite the fact that it's a beautiful sunny evening in most parts of Alaska this evening, to take your time out to come and testify to us. Mr. Co-Chairman, the schedule for tomorrow morning?
There is nothing scheduled tomorrow morning. We do have a number of bills tomorrow afternoon. I did tell my staff to let all the sponsors of the bills know that it's that time of year. We'll get to as much as we can. And we also have a meeting tomorrow evening at 6 to discuss the same topic as this evening.
All right, and before we adjourn, I do want to point out we did receive four letters this afternoon that I should read into the record, just who they are, and I'll have them put into the record. One from Margaret Dowling here in Auk Bay, writing in support of House Bill 231. One from Don Burford here in Juneau, also writing in support of 231. One from Alaska Rent-A-Car, signed by 6 of the principals with Alaska Rent-A-Car, testifying in support of House Bill 231, and a letter from Mr. John Havelock in Anchorage writing in opposition to House Bill 231. Those letters will be read into the record. Okay, and we've also received some faxes which will also be included in the record. With that, is there any additional anything else to come before the committee this evening? Hearing none, we are adjourned for the evening. Thank you.